If you would join me in prayer. Oh God, I pray may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The ring of fire. The ring of fire. It stretches. I'm not talking about Nemo. I knew that was where the laugh was coming from. It stretches. Those of you with children, you've seen Nemo. It stretches from the very tip of South America. It moves up the coast along the Pacific Ocean, along the coast of Central America, through California, Oregon, Washington, along the coastline of Canada, up to Alaska. It reaches across the Bering Strait and makes its way through Russia, Japan, the Philippines, all the way around to Australia. 25,000 miles in length is the Ring of Fire. More than 75% of all the volcanoes in the world occur somewhere on that Ring of Fire. More than 90% of all the earthquakes that occur in the world, they too occur somewhere in that Ring of Fire. And my guess is you don't have to tell anyone living along those 25,000 miles that they live in the Ring of Fire. Because every time the ground beneath them seems to tremble, I think they know. Every time they see smoke rising from a distant mountain, I suspect they know. When you live along those 25,000 miles, it's pretty hard to forget that you live in the Ring of Fire. But for people like you and me, those of us who live half a continent away, I might go a day, a week, a month, a couple of months, and never give thought to the Ring of Fire, because it's like most everything else. The further you get away from it, the easier it is to put it out of your mind. But there are moments when we get reminded. Our scripture this morning reminds us of a different kind of fire and a different story. Today is Pentecost Sunday, as we've already heard, and as we can see before us, a day of celebration for the church. And today, all around those 25,000 miles on that Ring of Fire, there are sisters and brothers, and they too are reading Acts 2, and they too are thinking about the coming of the Spirit. And on the other side of the world, in places like Ukraine and Syria and Iran and Gaza, where the threat of fire looks very different, they too are huddled together reading Acts 2, and they too are longing for the coming of the same Spirit. So what does it mean for us, gathered here in Waco, Texas, half a continent away from the Ring of Fire? What does it mean for us on this Pentecost Sunday to celebrate Pentecost? You see, we might sometimes read Acts 2 as nothing more than a history lesson, that it's just about what happened back then to that church at that place. But it's not about what happened then only. We read this text in the full certainty of what is happening now among us in our midst. You know the story as it was read this morning. That small group of disciples, they were gathered in that upper room just waiting and wondering. They were gathered in that upper room while the city streets were packed with those celebrating Pentecost. It was one of the three high holy days on the Jewish religious calendar. Everyone else seemed to be going along with life, and yet here they were, gathered in that upper room, praying, waiting, and wondering, could there be anything more for us? 3 years with Jesus, some of them had spent, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. Could there be anything more left for us? And then you know the story. Violent winds began to blow. Something like a fire touches down on their heads of those gathered in that place. And if we had time, I could take us through the Old Testament text after text after text of where fire shows up, and you remember the highlights. Moses at that nearly burning bush where he encounters God. Moses and Israel, they're standing at the foot of Mount Sinai, and they see fire and lightning up at the very top. When Elijah's about to be taken up into the heavens, Elisha sees fire, this chariot of fire swooping down to pick up Elijah. And when Ezekiel tries to describe this throne room of God, all he can say is, it's like a great cloud of brightness, and there's fire flashing forth. You see, the image of fire is an image of God breaking into the world. It's a theophany, if we want to use that word. It's God making himself known. And here in Acts 2, we get it again. You see, Luke's point isn't about pyrotechnics. It's not about the fire. It's about the God who shows up in that upper room to a group of people who wonder what just might come next for them. They wonder, maybe this is all over. And yet God broke into their midst and it changed them. We often refer to the day of Pentecost as the day the Holy Spirit was given to the church. That's usually the verbiage we like to use. But in my mind, there is a difference between being given to and being filled with. To be given something is to take possession of it, to own it, to call it yours. To be filled by something, it's to be taken possession by it. It's to be changed radically because of it. And those gathered in that upper room in Acts 2, they were transformed in that moment because they had been filled up by God. Cup filled up and running over with the sheer presence of God. It's like the song our choir sang this morning, filled up. They were filled up. And my guess is that's what we all really seek on this Pentecost Sunday. For our cups to be filled and to be running over with the sheer presence of God. And on this Pentecost Sunday, the good news is that which we long for most is still on offer. He seeks even now to fill us up with his Spirit so that we too, like that first church, might live as changed people. That group that gathered in that room, think about who they were, this ragtag collection of fishermen, tax collectors, merchants, homemakers, all kinds of individuals gathered in that room there in Jerusalem. The list of cities that are mentioned there, after they received the Spirit, they began to speak in these tongues, and we get this list of cities. Cities that stretch from Iraq and Iran of modern day all the way over to Rome and down into Egypt. The whole world seems to be there in that moment when these people are changed by the Spirit. Luke says, of those gathered in that room, all of them began to speak in other languages. But you see, Pentecost, it's not simply about the coming of the Spirit so we can speak a foreign language. Although some have probably prayed for that before. It's not about just the coming of the Spirit. It's the coming of the Spirit to empower us to be the people of God. It's the coming of the Spirit of God to enable us to do the work of God. It's the Spirit that allows us to speak, to offer words in places where the silence has grown too loud. When Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was writing her now famous book on death and dying, part of her research involved dying patients in the hospital. She would try to go in and see how they were feeling, what were they experiencing, what were their anxious thoughts that they had, particularly as death seemed impending. As she went from room to room in the hospital, she began to notice this remarkable pattern. Sometimes she would go into a dying person's room, and that person would seem so calm, so at peace, almost tranquil. And she couldn't figure it out. And then one day she began to notice that after the patient's room had been cleaned by this certain orderly in the hospital, that was when she would have gone in and met with that patient. And so one day Dr. Ross happens to run into this orderly at the hospital corridor, and she says, "What are you doing with my patients?" The orderly was sure she was being reprimanded. She said, I'm sorry, Dr. Ross, I'm sorry. I promise I'm not doing anything to your patients." "Oh, no, Dr. Ross said. "It's a good thing, whatever you're doing, it's a good thing. Because after you go into their rooms, they seem so at peace. Really, what is it you are doing to my patients?" "Oh, I just talked to them," the orderly said. "You know, I've had two babies of my own that have died on my lap, and God never abandoned me. And so I just tell them that. And I tell them that they're not alone, and that God is with them, and they don't have to be afraid." You see, we live in a world where people whose lives are fractured, their dreams have been dashed, and their hopes seem all but erased. We live in a world with people for whom silence has indeed become too loud. And on this day of Pentecost, we need to be reminded, like those gathered in that upper room, we have been filled, all of us and each of us, we have been filled to the brim and running over with the Spirit of the living God. In a world of fractured lives, dashed dreams, and erased hopes, in a world of deafening silence, we, the church, are anything but helpless. Like those gathered on that day, we too have been empowered. We too have been enabled. We too have something to say. Like that orderly in the hospital, we just simply need to make it known, that no, God has not abandoned us. We're not alone. God is with us. We don't have to be afraid. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ that we're sharing and saying in a world waiting to hear. But who will do that? Who will put those words and deeds into action? Later in this chapter, if we keep reading in chapter 2, you know what happens. Peter gets up and he begins to preach this stirring sermon about who will have the Spirit poured out upon them. You'll remember it. He says, "Your sons and your daughters, they will have the Spirit to speak. The old and the young alike, they're going to see visions for what God is doing in the world. And even those with no social status at all, like male and female slaves, yes, those too, the Spirit is going to pour out on them." The Spirit of God, Peter announces, will be poured out on all of us so that we might do his work and we might be his people. The great Dutch artist, Vincent van Gogh, his father was a pastor in the Dutch Reformed Church. Van Gogh often said he thought he would find his way into ministry as well. In fact, he spent a year as a missionary working in the deep mines of Belgium, ministering to the miners there as he tried to find his way into ministry. In one of his letters, he writes back to his father about the challenges that he faced. He said, "There may be a great fire in our hearts, yet no one ever comes to warm himself by it. And it seems passers-by see only wisp of smoke." You see, the people of God, we are not filled with the Spirit of God so that we might be mere wisp of smoke that passers-by just might see. No, we have been filled with the Spirit of God so that together we might do the work of God even now. We've been filled by the Spirit of God so that together we might speak the Word of God even now. We've all been filled by the Spirit of God so that together, young and old, female and male, we might bear witness to the inbreaking of God in the world. Wisp of smoke will not be enough. Perhaps on this day of Pentecost, we might wonder, how do we read this text as anything but a history lesson? How do we read this text as anything but about what happened then? How do we read this text today in the full certainty that the Spirit of Pentecost is being poured out even now? Oh, to be sure, it's possible to celebrate Pentecost. We can do that too, but that's another sermon. It's possible to celebrate Pentecost, but maybe just one time a year. And maybe to assume the coming of the Spirit has occurred, we can acknowledge that. We might even kind of give a token nod of appreciation that yes, the Spirit did come. It's possible to live as though we are totally unaware of all that Pentecost continues to mean. It's possible, because like most anything else, the further you get away from it, the easier it is to put out of your mind. It's possible, unless you've been around here in recent weeks and months. In these recent days, it seems to me as though the distance between that first Pentecost and the continuing work of the Spirit in this place, it seems as though that distance has collapsed. It's true. Long ago, in a room, upper room, somewhere, a group of disciples gathered and they wondered, is it all over? They wondered what the future might hold. They wondered if they had what it would take to do what God is asking them to do. They gathered in that upper room, and in a moment the winds blew and something like a fire touched down upon them, and they were utterly transformed. Transformed by the Spirit of the living God. And here's what I know on this Pentecost Sunday. What I know is that on the side of a grassy hill in a small, simple church, tucked away at the end of a street named Renewal, it seems as though the winds are stirring. Seems as though something like a fire is touching down upon us all. It seems as though we are being filled and our cups are running over, and that suddenly the distance between that first Pentecost and this Pentecost, it does not seem so great anymore. In fact, it seems as though the same Spirit of God is at work among us all, even now. And for that, all we can say is thanks be to God.